Welcome to the World of Women Create podcast series, where we bring you the magical and innovative worlds of artisans and makers from the pages of our magazines, Where Women Create and What Women Create, along with special guests who are entrepreneurs and experts in their fields. We love to share great conversation with extraordinary women, women you may be very familiar with and others you may not know. My name is Jennifer Blott, and I am the editor-in-chief of Women Create. It is my pleasure to welcome you, our listeners, and all of our guests as we explore the ups and downs, challenges and triumphs, exhilaration and immense joy of living a creative life. A creative life is a life that's rarely stagnant and always leading us down surprising paths. Thank you for being part of our creative world, the world of Women Create. Hello, and thank you for joining us today. I am thrilled to be here with Kara Lofredo and Africa Rubio Pastor, the founders of Boston Women's Market. Kara and Africa are based in the Boston area, and I've had the pleasure of attending one of their women's markets and also have seen their markets expand. And today they're sharing a bit more about how the markets came about 6 years ago and how they continuously foster community with their vendors and support their artisans year round. So before we get started with our questions, I'm going to introduce them with their bios. Kara, for her, the passion for entrepreneurship runs in her blood. She grew up surrounded by family members who all had small businesses at one point or another, from a dog and cat boarding kennel to an outdoor water park. After she graduated from Suffolk University, she began working for a variety of organizations where she was able to get her hands dirty in all the things sort of relating to small business, from running payroll to event organization to graphic design. And over the years, she's come to realize that she gets the greatest satisfaction and joy from helping others learn and succeed. Africa, who is co-founder of Boston Women's Market, is originally from Madrid, Spain. And when she lived in Spain, she spent a lot of time with her mother at markets, helping her mother, who was a vendor, with her own business. And she really came to realize the hard work that goes into building a business, setting up for markets, selling your products, and those long, long hours standing. So welcome to both of you. It's great to have you here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're so happy to be here.
I want to, first of all, start with the fact that here we are. We're almost mid-November, and we are gearing up for your busiest time of the year with holiday markets. Talk about that for a minute, and then I want us to go back to the beginning and talk about how it all came about.
It's like, where do we even start? I mean, we ourselves, Africa and I, are also small business owners. So we, while we're helping all of these small women-founded businesses throughout the Boston area prepare for the holidays, creating these selling opportunities for them, we ourselves are also in the throes of being a small business. You know, and that entails everything from managing our own bookkeeping to being our own graphic designers to wrangling all those Excel spreadsheets on the back end that people don't see. So since about October, where we kind of gather ourselves and amp ourselves up for this busy holiday season, it's just really been a time to put in the time and the work preparing for everyone.
And I think we even start getting ready for holiday season before, because we have to secure markets and we have to start preparing applications and sending them out and selecting vendors and seeing which one is going to go where. So it takes a lot of thinking and teamwork. And again, Kara is amazing, and I am much more disorganized than she is. We complement each other in this situation, because when she's freaking out, I'm not freaking out. And when I'm freaking out, she's not freaking out.
I mean, Africa's right. Like, we do start preparing for the holiday season, like a lot of our small businesses, months and months in advance. So we're really looking to solidify all of our partnerships, these major stakeholders that are throughout Boston and New England for the holidays, really in the spring is when we really start solidifying our calendar, making those contacts with people, releasing our applications, and organizing ourselves really starting in June.
But you're doing it while you're concurrently having your summer markets. So it's not like you've stopped doing markets to plan for the holidays. You're doing it year round.
Yeah. That's something that is unique about Boston Women's Market. And it's something that we didn't quite realize, I think, right off the bat, but we are there for our Boston community of artists and makers year round. We don't just come in for one time during the peak holiday season. We are really there to create programming and to support them throughout their entrepreneurial endeavors year round through all different types of programming. So you're absolutely correct. While we are wrangling the holidays on one end, we're creating workshops where you can come to wreath making and watercolor painting classes, community events where you get together as a vendor and connect with one another. So yeah, there's a lot of behind the scenes juggling.
And to add on to that, during the summer where people are going out, it's New England. Most people don't want to go outside during the winter. I mean, especially me, I'm just too Spanish for this weather. But during the summer, like all these workshops that we've been trying to incorporate too, and then other different opportunities, summer markets, outdoor markets, and all that stuff, we add on that. And then during the winter, even though this is the peak season and it's like a month long, and it seems like it's 6 months of just going, it's every weekend, Friday through Sunday, even during the week too. And I think we emphasize so much the holiday markets because it's their peak season where they are selling the most, all our vendors, and where they are making their income to continue creating more stuff during the year. So I think that that's why we put so much energy and time and decorations.
Yeah. The holidays really set small businesses up for success for the next year.
Yeah.
So without a successful holiday season and without creating that financial backbone under them, they can't then go into the new year creating new products, ordering those expensive materials, paying for all those marketing expenses to participate in events like Boston Women's Market. So it's really pivotal for the success of their business year round, this really special holiday season.
Well, and also there's nothing I would rather give than handmade artisan products for holiday gifts. I mean, to me, that's the ultimate. So you two are an amazing team. And I want to hear about the beginning of Boston Women's Market and how you met and how it all came about.
This is always an argument. So I think we met at a restaurant and Kara thinks we met at a coffee shop. But Boston Women's Market was a team of four in the beginning, counting with Kara. But I was already involved in the concept of Boston Women's Market. And there was another two girls that were working with us. And we did not do good at a graphic design, website design, and all that fun stuff. And it was supposed to be only a one-time thing. And then when it was decided that we were going to continue, we were like, we need someone to help us out. And I think after Kara joined, which was like 4 or 5 months after the concept of Boston Women's Market was even thought of, it's like really where it took off. Because Kara knew what I didn't, and I was very young too. I was 22.
Like you were 22, 23.
It's a completely different story. I was just kind of like living life and not knowing what I was doing, and Kara pretty much brought it home. She was like, okay, this is what we're doing and how we're doing it, and you're missing this and you're missing that, and we need to get our life together. And I was like, okay. I just think that list is the before Kara and after Kara.
That's so funny. Well, I think the reason why I connected. So as Africa said, we did start as four people, and we all had the group of four of us all had different expertise and different involvement in things. So Africa really was involved in the Boston community. She's a health and wellness coach. She's teaching yoga classes. She's constantly meeting new people. And she was a great resource to expose the Boston Women's Market brand to the community because she was out and about networking constantly. While I was more the operational kind of ideological kind of set of eyes behind the brand. So the two of us really joining forces made sense because we both have these different strong suits. I connected with Africa and the other women in Boston Women's Market at the time because I was just moving back to Boston after being in San Francisco for 4 years. I was looking for a way to reconnect with the Boston community. It was amazing how quickly the city had changed in the couple of years that I had left. For example, when I left, Seaport didn't exist. And then I came back and it was a whole new community. And there were so many vibrant things going on within Boston that I was really looking for a way to reestablish myself, not only through a job, but through a community of people. So that's when I actually connected with the other three girls of Boston Women's Market. As Africa said, it had been in fruition for about 3 months at that time. It was supposed to be a one-time deal, but the response from the community was so positive. And when you think back to 2017, what it was like at that time, like the Trump election had just happened, Me Too had just kind of started gaining power. And so the response from the community where we popped up in a Jamaica Plain, one, they really appreciate the arts, makers, independent thinkers. So it was a great catalyst and jumping point for Boston Women's Market as an organization. We all come from very different backgrounds, but we all came together for this common reason and this common passion that we discovered.
And today it's just the two of you. You don't have any other staff.
So we hired two people this year, and it was mainly because of my maternity leave, and things were getting bigger than just for the two of us. We needed some help, and we needed someone to be doing social media and email marketing and organizing the markets and assisting Kara with other millions of other things in the background.
And I think that in itself is a huge feat. Like, we went for 5 years, just the two of us, to be able to get to that point in a business that you started is such a milestone, to be able to say, hey, I can pay for this extra help. It is a luxury I feel that I will never not appreciate. Mm-hmm. And it's a luxury that so many of our small business owners do not have. Mm-hmm. You know, they are just out there doing it themselves. So we are so thrilled to be able to have a little extra support this year.
Congratulations on that. That is,
Thank you. I
know many of the women we featured in the magazines, that is their hope. You know, they do absolutely everything while juggling parenthood and all sorts of other things. And speaking of which, Africa, your baby has arrived. Tell us who your baby is.
Yeah. Well, motherhood is hard and it's wonderful at the same time. Now I'm starting to get back into life and trying to get into a new schedule and a new rhythm. I'm very much so of the person that is like very into their schedule on a daily basis. It's like everything needs to look the same. And right now, everything is not the same at all whatsoever. Some things are good, some things they're bad, and it's just so unpredictable. But he's 3 months old. He was born in August. I was 4th. And it was the wildest thing I've ever gone through. And I have a different appreciation now for my mother as well, too. And I've noticed that when you were talking about how I would go with my mom to the markets, I felt myself tearing up thinking about it because I just have a different appreciation for my mother now. It's different now after you've become a mother, I guess. But he is so funny and wonderful, and he's starting to have his little personality. Kara and I were just together with him the other day, and he was just chatting it up with her. And
what is his name?
Mateo.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Mateo Francisco. Francisco is my dad's first name, so we decided to give him that as the middle name.
And he'll be coming to any of the holiday markets?
He will be going to some holiday markets, yes. Thankfully, Dad has been able to arrange to be with him while I have to be in markets. We have a couple cool opportunities coming up this year in Faneuil Hall, actually. And we're going to be popping up semi-permanently Friday through Sunday. And it's going to be a really cool opportunity.
Well, So semi-permanently, Tell me about the timeline on this. When is this going to start?
Getting started right after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah, so our opening day is December 1st. In total, we're going to be featuring over 140 small businesses throughout the month of December. So that is just incredible to me that we are going to be able to provide these opportunities to so many small businesses. But every weekend, you're going to be able to shop 40 new vendors, and they are from Boston. They are from outside Boston. Some of our vendors are coming down from Vermont, Maine, staying the weekend, and are going to be participating at our events. So we're super excited. And I feel like thinking back to a couple years ago, like I had milestones in my head. I was like, oh man, if we make it to somewhere like Faneuil Hall, I can picture our banner on the side of it. And that's actually happening now. And it's like, oh my God, we made it here. We're doing it. We're legit. And it's so funny to me to think that it's taken me this long to get to that thought of like, oh, we're legit. Like, we're a real business. Look at us go. It was called imposter syndrome. I know that's a hot topic, you know, yes. And we've talked about that a lot with different community members of ours. I think all of our perseverance and just honestly nagging and continuing and emailing, and it's just finally paid off. And then sometimes it just takes that long.
Every year we hit a milestone and we get featured in somewhere. I remember when we got featured in the Boston Globe and we were both like, oh my God. It was during the holiday season. It helped us a lot to get a lot of attention during that holiday season, which was great.
Do you remember Africa? That market, the weekend before it came out, people actually clipped out that article from the Boston Globe and brought it to the market to show us.
Yeah.
And that in itself was like so special and kind of blew my mind. I'm like, we don't know these people, but they obviously care enough about what we are trying to create to show with pride, oh, I found you in the Boston Globe. I'm so excited to be here. And it was like a take back moment. It was like, oh my gosh, like, okay, we're doing something right. This is the path forward. You know, it was something really unique.
I love it. And, you know, I'm thinking of you're doing two kinds of outreach. You outreach to potential artists as well as to potential customers, people coming to the market. Yeah. So for some of these artisans who are outside the Boston area in Vermont or Maine, how do they hear about you?
So I think at this point is very much so word to mouth in between vendors. At first, we would reach out to vendors at the beginning of Boston Women's Market. We would be like, hey, we really like your product. What I forgot to mention at the beginning is Boston Women's Market was mainly an Instagram account. And I was kind of in charge of setting meetings up with these vendors and going and talking to them and seeing what their product looked like and then putting up a post about their products. That was what I did with Boston Women's Market. And then I think it was word of mouth. So they're like, oh, I went to the show this weekend. What is it called? Boston Women's Market. And like, they start talking to each other. And then I think also social media, Facebook, Instagram, email marketing of any sort too. That's kind of how it gets out there to like people more outside of Massachusetts. Now we don't really have to do outreach to vendors unless we're like, oh, I found you here and I want you to know about our brand and our Boston Women's Market community. Usually the vendors reach out to us and word of mouth in between vendors and whatnot. But yeah, and then customers, that's more Kara's side of the equation, because she does all the email marketing behind the scenes and all that.
It is hard to straddle those two lines, because you're right, we do have two separate audiences, and the way we have to speak to them is in two different ways. So we'll constantly have communication streams going that are unique. You know, what we say to a vendor can't be the same thing that we're saying to a B2C consumer. So we do kind of strategize year round about how to separate the two. You know, we've gone through different variations about those communication streams throughout the year. So for example, Africa, do you remember when we opened a second Instagram account that was called Shop Boston Women's Market? So that Instagram account was supposed to be about talking to the consumer, encouraging them to shop our small business community and also attend our markets. Operationally, it ended up, which I'm sure so many small business owners can relate to, it ended up being a nightmare, because now we had two different Instagram accounts to manage, two different platforms of messaging, and we couldn't keep up with it. So we're constantly having to like re-strategize how that communication flow works.
That example, exactly, the Instagram account, it was, I tend to manage all the Instagrams, and we thought, okay, so we have a vendor focused audience on our main Instagram account in Boston Women's Market. Why don't we concentrate on creating something for the customer? And at the end of the day, it was just like, mayhem. It was impossible. We had to create content for both, and we had to do all this other stuff, and it was only the two of us. And a lot of people were on the vendors were following that account, and it just got confusing. So it's, again, trial and error, right?
And, you know, beyond just opening up the markets for artisans to have a forum to sell their work, you're also connecting with them year round and offering workshops and promoting them, right? Tell me more about that. Tell me how that works.
Well, this is something we can talk a long time about, because there are so many different avenues. I think first and foremost is we have a program called the Empower Her Member. When businesses really want to be involved in our community, whether it's being showcased on our website through our member directory, being featured in our holiday gifting guide that's going to come out next week, getting discounted registration fees to participate in our events, they become an Empower Her member. And we created that program to really support and reward businesses that are, you know, really going for it. These are people that maybe they really want to bring their small business to a full-time business level. They're really investing a lot of time, effort, and energy. And we're thinking, okay, how can we support them more? So one way is through our Empower Her Memberment, where they get a lot of different perks. Another way we do that is we partner with our small businesses to host DIY nights. So for example, this year is the first year that we've launched this program. Well, we had our first brick and mortar shop this past summer. So it was a temporary pop-up at the Charles River Speedway in Brighton. And we try to at least once a month invite one of our community members to host a workshop on their expertise. So, for example, Bluebird Bouquets came in and did an aromatherapy wreath making workshop. We had a watercolorist come in and do botanical watercoloring and the real basics behind the nuances about how to watercolor, how you can start this hobby at home. So that's another avenue in which we are marketing their business through a different avenue by selling tickets to an event. People get to come to that event and meet the maker and get really intimate with them. At the same time, we're advertising them on our Instagram, our social media, all those event calendars like Eventbrite, Boston.com, Boston Calendar. So they're getting that brand exposure there too.
We had our first workshop. I remember me being so nervous about it. I was like, it was our first workshop doing it, and it was during the market. It was jewelry making with Navia Designs. Again, it's a trial and error, right? And I think they've become popular because a lot of people want to go to a ceramics class or to a jewelry making class, or they want to go and learn how to bookbind. Or I think the most recent one was like to paint sneakers. So I think it's a really cool concept, because when I moved here, I was so eager to find community, and that's part of why Boston Women's Market became a thing. And I think this is something that we are providing to the vendor and to the community to come together and be a community.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I mean, usually at our workshops, you'll see groups of friends gathering. They each get a ticket, they each get a glass of wine, and they enjoy an evening together doing something different, learning a new skill. So it's something that's really cool. You know, during the holiday season, we go even a step further. So for example, next week, we're releasing our holiday gifting guide. So it's all about encouraging you to shop through our community members of small businesses, not go to a big box store, not just click on Amazon. We understand that it takes that extra step. It does, you know, to go to that website that you've never been to, where your credit card maybe isn't saved, and you have to take a couple more extra steps because everything isn't instantaneous in your account. But in the end, taking that extra step is so powerful. I mean, the small business is going to see that purchase and remember it. The big box store isn't going to see you. They're not going to remember it. And that's something that's really impactful as a buyer, but also as someone receiving that gift, when they get to hear the story about how you found this gift, how you got to meet the maker, how you got to learn the story behind why she decided to paint this scene of this neighborhood in Boston, because it was a place she lived in for years and it was something special to her. So now she wants to share it with other people. So if you can share those sentimental experiences with others, it just makes
gifting so much more impactful.
So I feel like we are getting so used to being in that bubble and in the convenience of our own home, and everything gets delivered to our door and whatnot. Most of our vendors will ship to you, so you can still do it in the convenience of your own home. But I think there's that special aspect of actually going to a market and being there for your community. And you're not only impacting your community, like, I mean, the vendor, you're also helping the local economy, and you are meeting cool people. And there's just so many, by you purchasing something from that vendor, you're not only just making their day because they get to talk to you and share that emotional experience and how they make that, but you're also impacting your community at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. It brings me back to when we were first developing Boston Women's Market, and even like a couple years in, where we really work hard to build relationships with these major stakeholders within the Boston community. Property development managers, breweries, town halls, and going into their greens and activating their green space. And one of the pushbacks we used to have was, oh, well, we don't want you here because you're going to take business away from all the other businesses in our neighborhood. People quickly realized that was not the case. We were actually driving customers and consumerism in their neighborhood. So after our market, people went to the restaurants, they went to the coffee shops, they went to the local music store. And it's something that has taken major stakeholders and maybe people that retailers and resident retailers and businesses, it's taken them a while to realize that something like Boston Women's Market can actually improve their business, their community. And it's not just about getting sales for our people, it's about bringing energy and life to the community in general.
So talk about how many different venues you have markets at in the course of a year.
We host over I would say it's approaching 50 unique events per year during the holiday season. Unique days in December, I think we're at 20 unique days of activations in the month of December alone. Those locations vary from, we have our kind of headliner this year, which is Faneuil Hall, which we're really excited about, but we don't want to forget our other locations and stakeholders either. We are partnering with the Charles River Speedway, which is a newer area of Boston in the Brighton Alston neighborhood. It is a historic property that has been refurbished over the past couple of years to debut and showcase small businesses. And then we also have private corporate events. So we have realized over the past couple of years the value of tapping into these amazing headquarters that are located in Boston. For example, Puma. We'll be going to the Puma headquarters to host a special holiday market for all their employees. Same with Biogen in Cambridge. We'll be hosting an event to help their employees shop local and shop small. Because when you're stuck at work and you're at your computer all day, it could be hard to get out and find the time to shop local businesses. So we're partnering with different types of these major investors within the Boston community to support local makers and artists.
And even like a big corporation like Puma or Biogen, that they put so much importance on Boston Women's Market showing up to their space and promoting those local businesses is already such a win too, because Puma is huge and Biogen as well. And you are putting those vendors in front of people that might not have the opportunity to go shop.
Well, and the other thing about that too is it's not only benefiting those employees that are on campus in Boston. This information is broadcasted to all their employees across the U.S. We live in a world of hybrid working, remote working. So it's not only that you have to be on the Boston campus in the Biogen office to be able to participate. We create virtual markets where these employees can shop and support our local businesses too. So you're really reaching thousands of eyes to support.
So do you have people reach out to you from other parts of the country who are interested in starting their own market? It sounds like you'd be amazing mentors for others.
You know, actually, yes. We've gotten a few people asking. even people that we might know, or it's like, hey, I'm moving to this city and I would love to start an initiative similar to this. We've thought about it in the past. We haven't put a lot of thought into it. It's just because we already have our hands full here. But it's been something that we thought about for sure.
Like us expanding to other cities.
Or well, thinking of people just coming to you for mentorship and advice on, you know, how do we do something like this? How do we activate our own city and bring together local artisans?
We've definitely had a couple. So particularly in our small, our actual business owners, where there's one I'm thinking of, she moved to Texas and she emailed, and this was like maybe a year or two ago, she emailed us being like, you know, there's nothing like Boston Women's Market here. I would love to try to start something. Definitely providing advice and guidance about how we got started, that sort of thing. But you know, it doesn't happen as much as you would think. And I wonder if it's because maybe just the need is being met, but we have been approached when people move outside of the Boston area wanting to know how they can start something like Boston Women's Market for themselves. I think what more people rely on us for guidance and mentorship about is their day-to-day small business needs. So I was on a phone call last night, a Zoom phone call with one of our small businesses. And I joke a lot that like I feel like a small business therapist sometimes, because I'll hop on these Zoom calls just from community members being like, hey, you know, I want to get into wholesale. Do you have any advice about that? How do I do that? How can I approach that? And we'll hop on a Zoom. And sometimes small business owners or anyone just needs to unload their thoughts and speak them out loud and get a neutral opinion that's not a family member or a friend who knows your all the emotional investment and time and energy you've put into things. You want someone that's neutral and maybe has a different opinion about things. So we often have Zoom phone calls and provide that kind of like small business therapy, as I call it, and try to highlight different pathways that maybe people aren't seeing. I feel really privileged to be able to take my small business experience in a variety of different ways and provide that guidance, because a lot of struggles people can relate to. And if you're having that struggle, it only makes the next person more empowered to hear about that struggle and know like, oh, I'm not alone in this. I've also encountered X, Y, and Z, and there is a path forward for me.
And I think that's why the workshops that we host started too, because we end up in conversations with people by ourselves that we were like, okay, well, this conversation is probably going to be beneficial not only to this person, but probably to this business and this other business. And I'm sure people are going to want to know how to navigate social media or how to do paid advertisement or how to order labels or whatever it was. We were like, okay, well, maybe this is something that we need to tap into. And I mean, another initiative that started over the pandemic when we couldn't really go out and they didn't have the opportunity to showcase their business face to face to an audience, like Kara was saying, it's just like we ended up being like, okay, well, a lot of people don't know how to make their website, so they don't have a website. And this is kind of where Kara's initiative of being their mentor in like actually doing website design for these specific vendors came to life, and then workshops came to life too. So we were doing a lot of talking with vendors on our own and being like, okay, well, this is how we're doing it on this is whatever. And I would get a lot of questions about social media too. It's like, hey, how do you make reels, or like how do you make these videos, or how do you edit them, and blah blah blah. And so we ended up creating these workshops for that specific reason.
Yeah, we call them the Empower Her Workshop Series. So usually we launch our educational workshop series in the beginning of the year in January, and they usually go to about June. So it's kind of the first half of year initiative. It's all about kind of like taking that breathing room that you have during the spring to actually conceptualize business and learn new things, taking advantage of that time and maybe learning new skills. So as Africa said, everything from financial management to SEO best practices, we partner with experts in these various arenas of knowledge that are beneficial to small businesses. And we have online workshops that are always free, that are always open to anyone. And then we always have them on our Boston Women's Market YouTube channel. So they're on demand. Anyone can refer back to them, rewatch them at any time. So that's something that we find a lot of value in. It's something that I actually refer to all the time. I've even myself as a small business owner, I'm sitting there taking notes because the knowledge that some of the people that we're able to partner with is just so beneficial to us and our community. So it's a win-win.
I think we utilized a lot of information that we've gotten, like from social media workshops, from even legal services and contracts and all that fun stuff. And we've learned a lot. Something that we will note from Boston Women's Market from our beginnings is that we didn't know we had to get permits to do certain things. We didn't know we needed contracts for other stuff. Like we were just like winging it at some point. And then all of a sudden we were like, oh, we need contracts from the city? Sure. Like, remember, me and Kara going to our first meeting to get approved for a Boston market. And it was like, to me, was very intimidating. And I think as a person, I've developed from there, because now I can get in front of there's room of people and be totally fine. But Kara was like explaining what she had, like a whole docket with all our stuff, like all the measurements of everything. And they were like going around with like the special events person, the police department, the fire department. And they were like, they would all say yes to the event and whatnot. But it's just like, we didn't know half the stuff that we know now. And you got to start somewhere, I guess.
Like that, honestly, that mentality right there is, I feel like, what small business is built on. It's built on this mentality of, I don't know, but I'll figure it out. Or I'm just going to wing this and see what happens. If you just keep trying, something is going to happen. And maybe something doesn't happen correctly or in the right way you envisioned. But something is going to come of it, whether making a different decision in the future or realizing, oh, this is my path forward. I think every small business owner can relate to that. And I personally treasure that concept as a key to small business success.
And I think we've definitely had those moments within Boston Women's Market. Talked about earlier, the Instagram account more targeted towards customers rather than vendors or locations of markets that we were like, okay, well, we've tried this location a couple of times. It didn't work out. It just wasn't busy, or the community wasn't as involved. We go through that, I think, on a weekly basis within Boston Women's Market. Like, okay, who is in charge of what? Maybe we don't order these decals anymore because they didn't stick the whole time. Or like, maybe we rethink decorations of some sort. Or like, we were doing our own bookkeeping, and now we've hired someone that will do our bookkeeping because maybe that's not our strong suit. And you just kind of go and learn and see what works, what doesn't, what are the strong suits of each individual. And I think a lot of small businesses do that too. It's like an evolution. Maybe one started making jewelry and ended up making ceramic pots, or like they realized that they were going to do better if they were making cakes instead of cupcakes, or whatever it is. But I think every small business goes through that evolution and trial and error of what works and what doesn't. You don't start and everything, maybe it does for some people, but it works perfectly, but
I've never seen that happen.
And I want to go back to the vendors. My guess is that some of these women are really intimidated and nervous to sell their wares in the beginning. How do you help them gain the confidence that your stuff is beautiful and people are going to appreciate it and this is a great forum for it? What do you say to them?
We've had this conversation with pretty much every vendor. And I think Boston Women's Market, because of the way we started, it was very local, whatever, we got a lot of first timers. And I think we've had this conversation so many times with people, and like the evolution, they ask us for like advice on things and whatnot, but they get nervous. They just need to get out there and try it out for the first time. And then after they try it out for the first time, they're like, oh my God, that I can do this. So I think it's just more giving yourself a little bit of a pep talk and just making the decision and trying out a market. And if it's not for you, okay, it's not for you. And maybe you can just sell online. Something different works for everybody. But I think it's also important for people to go and explain their product and talk to their customers and just put your product out there. In a way, be brave to take the risk.
And I'd love to hear a success story. Give me a sense of somebody who has maybe was one of those people who were nervous to try, who've really blossomed and grown their business.
We always say we are an amazing place to start your market career. There are several options throughout Boston, many of which are really big and intimidating, whether it's because the size of the market is intimidating, whether the participation fee is cost prohibitive to them. We really try to be this in between where we are really approachable. And I think going back to what Africa said is, Africa and I are real people. We are small business owners ourselves. And because of that, we are able to really intimately relate to these people we work with every day. And we have newbies join Boston Women's Market all the time. I love getting to a market and someone saying, this is my first market ever. I'm like, oh my God, like, congratulations. Don't be nervous. And usually there is that nerve factor for sure, because they're worried about, you know, their setup. What will people think of their product? I mean, putting yourself out there for people to essentially kind of judge is super scary. It's nerve-wracking enough to put it in front of your friends and family and say, hey, I'm going to start making or creating or designing this. What do you think? And then taking it even further and saying, hey, public, I'm going to be doing X, Y, and Z. Here's my voice. Here's my perspective on this. That could be super intimidating. So as Africa said, there's a brave factor to it for sure. But I think once you get to Boston Women's Market, you realize I am surrounded by a community of very like-minded people that are all here for pretty much the same reason. They have a passion that they want to showcase to the world. And one thing I just love about the community is, you know, we can have 5 or 6 jewelry makers at our markets. Every jewelry maker is so different because they come from different backgrounds, different life perspectives, different opinions on things. So while you have these, you know, several jewelry makers, they're also unique and their stories are also unique. And going back to seeing successes, that's one of the blessings of Boston Women's Market. We have been able to see people grow with us. And that has just been like such a blessing, because so many of us started together and we call them our OGs.
Yep.
So, I mean, Africa, if you have certain people on the top of your mind that you're thinking of.
So I have a lot to say about just getting started and like the successes that we've seen and in different examples of stuff. So we've had, at the top of my head, I'm thinking about a specific holiday market last year with a ceramic maker, and it was her first market. And throughout the year, I saw her come back to the markets and develop her products. And she kept coming back. It was her first market and she was so nervous and she didn't know if people were going to like it. And she was selling these fruit bowls that you basically put the fruit in and you can wash them in there and just directly eat it from there. And I thought that was so smart and I loved it. And then we also had a jewelry maker who came in and she had no banner, no tablecloths, because like putting together a display takes so much time. Like, we've had vendors make their own tables, make their own stands, think so much through these things, and they show up and see the other people that have been doing it for years and they're like, oh my God, I only have my table. And
you compare yourself. Yeah, you compare yourself to these vendors that have been doing it for years and you can't.
You develop your brand from there. You start at one point, like Boston Women's Market. I remember the website. Do you remember the website, Kara?
I still have it.
The first website.
Oh my God, our logo, our branding, everything was awful. It was something, but at least it was something. And then we have also success stories like that have end up in the Food Network or that now are so big that they're like on big convenience stores that started at Boston Women's Market. Specifically, I'm thinking about period product brand that I use every month. And she used to live down the street from me. So I would place my order and I would go to her house and pick up the order. And now I can just go to Stop and Shop and buy her stuff. So I know the Hearst products are there and I've seen them grow so much, but we've had people that just getting started. But I want to emphasize that those people that are now in Stop and Shop and in Walgreens, in Whole Foods or whatever, started at Boston Women's Market with a table with just one product and a tablecloth, and they continue to develop their brand and continue to create more products after seeing what sells, what doesn't, what branding works, what not. And it's amazing to see them going from starting point to the next step. And we continue to support those vendors, and we still mainly buy stuff like Kara just got married.
Congratulations. You both have such big news.
Yeah, it's been a big year for us.
Wow. Kara just got married, and like her bouquets were from a small business owner. Like she got presents for her bridesmaids from one of our small business owners. I think that we try to support in our day-to-day life all these small businesses.
You know, it's huge to support and see people grow, and again, to hear the stories behind all of these beautiful things. They're not just, like you say, they're not just coming in a big box on your front step. I mean, here's one. I went to an Open Studios last weekend and I was drawn in because of the jewelry, because I love jewelry, but I ended up buying an incredible piece of pottery that I never would have found if I was like online. I wouldn't have ever plugged in, you know, very unique artisan pottery, but there it was. And I saw it and I touched it. And that is the beauty of seeing things in person.
That's exactly what it is. You get to pick it up. You get to feel it. You get to experience that emotional connection. I did the same thing. I mean, one of the downfalls about being at Boston Women's Market all the time is that you want to buy everything. Yeah. So our last market, I brought this beautiful piece of artwork that's now hanging in my bedroom. I mean, we just got it framed and I just love it. And it was from a first-time Boston Women's Market vendor. She had never participated in any of our events and it was just so unique. And I just saw it and I felt this emotional draw towards it. And you're right. I would have never felt that or found that if I was looking for a piece of artwork online. There's definitely a huge element to the importance of putting yourself out in front of people when you're a small business owner. I often hear from vendors that we work with things like, oh, it'd be great if I can cut down on my in-person markets and sell mostly online. I understand why a lot of small businesses feel that way, because the time, the energy, the labor that goes into selling at a market is exhausting. You are on your feet for hours every day. You are talking to people for hours. And by the time you get home, it's draining. So if you're doing several of these markets a month or a week, totally understand why it would be tempting to say, hey, I want to pivot my business more online. But if you're pivoting your business more online, you have to be prepared to lose that emotional connection to a certain extent. We really stress the value of showing up in person in your community. And that leads to good things. We've seen that time and time again. So for example, one of our chocolate makers in our community, she started her business, I think 3 or 4 years ago. Her first market was Boston Women's Market. And she just opened her own store in East Boston last week. And it's because she was able to get in front of so many people. She was able to sample her product. You can't sample online. People can't experience that amazing dark chocolate, nutty, caramelly flavor online. But she was able to grow her business by showing up in person. And yes, it's a lot of time and energy. And of course, there are so many hurdles, daycare, transportation, but it is one of the essential ways to grow your business. I mean, the one that Africa was talking about period products, same thing. We used to do pop-ups within yoga studios and she would pop up with us within yoga studios just for brand recognition. And now she's in CVS and Target. I would never stress the importance of enough to show up, because you never know who you're going to meet. One great example is when we had our pop-up retail incubator shop this past summer in Brighton. One of our vendors is a kids clothing vendor. And the first week she was there, a shopper came in and she was the buyer for Brigham and Women's Hospital for the gift shop. She is now a wholesale client
for Brigham and Women's because she came into the Boston Women's Market shop, discovered her brand, and was like, this would be perfect to have in all our gift shops in the hospital for all the newborns and gifting and moms. So if she wasn't there, if she didn't show up, that connection would never have been made. So it's stories that like that, that just like continue to make you push forward, make us push forward, make the small business owner push forward and continue to strive for these successes.
You two are amazing. And it seems like you really complement each other. And I just want to end with the importance of being part of a creative community. When times get tough, I know you have a community both online and at the markets of women who rely on each other and get strength from each other. Can you sum it up how important that is?
I would just say being a part of a community like Boston Women's Market or any community that you might have access to is so important because you realize and you're reminded that you're not alone in these struggles, that someone else has probably walked in your shoes and they can be a mentor for you. Even if you've never met them before, even if you're just chatting through Facebook Messenger and you've met in a Facebook group, having that sense of community, particularly as a small business owner, is just vital. It's one of the things we cherish so much at Boston Women's Market. We've seen business partnerships bloom at our markets. And we've also had the blessing and the privilege of becoming really good friends with a lot of our makers, attending their weddings, getting to know their mothers, seeing their newborn children. And when you have that community around you, you can think about that and reflect back on that when times are hard and realize, hey, I can keep going because of these reasons.
Like Kara was saying, is we've had lots of vendors that end up being best friends with other vendors because they reached out to each other. And it's that community that don't be afraid to ask questions and put yourself out there.
Well, thank you. You have been an amazing inspiration today. And I know that you have so many things on your plate. So really, thank you for making the time. We are going to include your YouTube channel, the website address, everything, and a list of your upcoming markets for people to be there in person or in spirit. We wish you a happy holiday season and thank you. Thank you for making the time.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you. We love the magazine and everything you guys represent. So thank you so much.
Thank you again for joining us today for our World of Women Create podcast. In a world filled with endless stories, it is our mission to share the memorable personal journeys and lessons learned of the extraordinary women in our community. Their stories are stories that enlighten us, inform us, and ignite the creativity that lives in each of us. Women Create is grateful that you are part of our creative world.